Blog Talk Radio.
Think then it's over, that your life is done.
The best is yet to come.
Don't sweat the challenge, your battle's already won. Listen, y'all. See, God writes the end before the story begins. Oh, he told me to tell you the best
is yet to come.
As the author of your faith, he wrote a provision for you to win. You're a winner.
Hello, hello, everybody. It's good to be with you tonight. We got a we don't have the rights to that song, so we kind of cut it off a little early. We just want to try to get this show started tonight. And I have two of the guests on there. I'm glad to have you on here, my two guests that's on here. I'm sorry, my co-hosts. I'm talking about guests. I've been running show today. My mind is not even functioning like it's supposed to. My two of my co-hosts are here tonight. Now, this is Talking Sports Plus, the voice of the historical black college, the universities, high school, and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. We air every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And we're so excited about having a chance to come before you again on wonderful Wednesday. And I know my co-hosts got some banging things for you tonight. They're excited. It's going to be awesome because I know they're ready to give it to you. So we got an awesome law that we're going to be talking and discussing tonight. All right, if you also want to be able to share your thoughts, you can use the call-in number, which is 347-857-4192, or go to the web link, which is www.blogtalkradio.com/LDSmithProduction. And if you want to email us, talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. All right, I'm going to allow my co-hosts to come on, jump in now and introduce themselves, and we're going to start off with that gentleman down there from Dothan over to Ops, all the way up to Montgomery, by way of Troy, Luverne, and Bradley. None other than the radio personality, our all radio personality. So proud to have him. Coach of the Airways, Darrell E-Train Elliott.
So glad I could be on the show tonight, man. Thank you for allowing me in, Coach, and I'm ready to go. Let's talk a little sports.
All right, let's talk some sports. Thank you, Darrell. Glad to have you here tonight, as always. All right, now we're going to travel all the way up to North Alabama. And we're going to grab that young man that holds down Huntsville and everything up in Madison County. And we're so proud of him on that end. And that's the young man that has that thing that best describes him and when he deals with the coaches around him. Ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. None other than Coach Tremaine Edward. Holler at us, Coach.
Hey, glad to be here tonight. Glad to be here tonight. Just coming out the practice field. Just got the news. Well, we'll talk about it later. About the Ohio scandal. The Ohio State scandal.
It's a scandal. Glad to be here. It's going to be a scandal.
Yeah, glad to be here tonight.
We glad to have you. Always, my brother, always glad to have you. We're going to have some fun on this show. This is all about having some fun. Now, if you want to tweet each and every one of us or just tweet the show, you can go to @TalkingSportsPlus with the number one or @Elliott, E-L-L-I-O-T, Darryl, D-A-R-Y-L with the number one, Tremaine, T-R-E-M-A-I-N-E, E-D-W. A-R-D with the number 7. And Lauren is @Kiwi_don't_care. So we have each and every one of those individuals. And if you want to join us on Instagram, you can. You can join us on Anchors. However you want to listen to it. Now, the web link is www.blogtalkradio.com/LDSmithProduction. All right, And so let's get this thing started, man. I'm so excited about our title for the show tonight. It's Countdown to Kickoff. It's time for some football. Ball is ball. Let's make it happen, that team. We're going to start out with some preseason high school ranking. I want us to kind of share some thought of that power, that what they call that power 25, or that top 25. And we're going to talk about the teams that are at the top. We're going to talk about the top five teams. We're going to get five of them just about every week till we get to each and every one of them. It may change in the next 2 weeks, but this is the first week of high school football. We're going to start off, and I want us to kind of share our thoughts on these five teams. Ranked number one in the power poll. Repeating champion for many years, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. Hoover High School. We have Thompson come in at number two. Pinson Valley come in at number three. And they are 6A state champion, which is moving up to 7A. And then we have Hewitt Trustville, McGill Tulane. Share some thoughts on those group right there, that group of five. We're going to talk about those group of five and pull in some local teams from the surrounding area and your surrounding area, whether it's North Alabama, South Alabama, or Central. Let's get it started. Trey, let's talk about it a little bit there. Have I lost my cast?
Dr. Smith, you there?
Yeah, hello.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. I had the phone on mute, just talking away. But those teams you name are typically amongst the top every year, pending the number of students that they have in the schools. Hoover is amongst the top every year. When it deals with elite players and national, well, state championships, Hoover would be in the mix. Schools that have just jumped in are, I'm going to say, Thompson, which is the Alabaster school. They got a big-time transfer with Tua brother. He's putting them on another level. And McGill Tulane is pretty much stout every year. Hewitt Trustful has snuck in there. They have become one of the elite schools. And the school right down the street from Hewitt Trustful, is that at Clay Chalkfield, Dr. Smith?
Yes.
They usually are elite too. So I'm not even, my head is not turning at that ranking right there. That's typically what it is going to be every year, besides the Thompson move, which they are there. They have a lot of D1 players this year as far as the Tua factor from what I see. They have an awesome offensive lineman there too, if I'm not mistaken. But those teams are amongst the top teams in the state. Can I talk about teams in my area, Dr. Smith?
Yes, please do.
Is this the time for that? Okay.
Yeah, it's the time.
Up here we have Austin, which is a Decatur school. They were undefeated. They lost to Pinson Valley last year in a semifinal game to go play with Tomka. They lost 51-50 in the overtime thriller. They usually are loaded up this way, but football up in North Alabama is not like football down south. I'm going to say that. It's things these guys do, I have to wonder. And I see why we don't have many schools that come from up here that are not in championship contention. Montgomery, I don't know what the city holds this year. I know after this weekend we have a powerhouse like a classic that goes on at Alabama State for Thursday and Friday. And they also have games at Crumpton Bowl on Friday. I think James Clements from up this way will be playing Thompson, will be playing Tua in the bowl on Friday night. So
that should be a good one. James Clements has a few SEC comments on their team, but I don't think they have enough to compete with Thompson. That's all I got, Dr. Smith.
All right, that's awesome. Awesome. Darry, we got you back in here. We got you back.
Glad to be back. Football on this end is a strange animal this year. You know, we're in the midst down in Dothan of closing schools and next year. So it's going to be an interesting makeup for football this year, because football this year will not be football the same next year in Dothan City Schools. There's talk of changing the entire dynamic of how sports is being played because of the shrinking of the school system, perhaps even building a somewhat 7A type of school in the city of Dothan. So we have that to look forward to next year, and that's going to definitely change the dynamic of football, perhaps make Dothan City Schools a powerhouse in the South now in terms of football. 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A in the area, Georgiana will be the team to look out for this year. They were very strong last year. Let's talk about our honorary Brantley Bulldogs coming back out this year with a couple. They've been lulling for a couple of years, waiting for some of these young cats to grow up. Well, they finally got some beef stock on these cows. And so I look forward to Brantley to having the next 3 to 4 years being at the top of the food chain in football. Pike County High School looks real good this year. You know, just 7 years ago, they only had 18 players and went all the way to the state championship with 18 players, 18 strong, they call themselves. And this year, they're poised to come back to the top in this area. I don't know much more about that in the area, but I'm sure, Dr. Smith, you can lend yourself to the rankings. Tony Stallworth normally is my backup on that, but I don't know. This man is gone somewhere. I don't know. But back to you, Dr. Smith.
Well, I appreciate it. Tony did text let me know he's in church and he's doing his best to try to get out. This is the last one. He has to be there, so we'll move forward without him. He said he's going to do his best to try to call. So we look forward to hearing from Coach Tony Stallworth. Just to count that, pull out some of the tea. Andalusia's ranked in the poll as well. They'll be taking on Saraland this Friday night. You have, if you want to kind of look, you have Elba down in that area, Leroy, if you want to kind of put it down in the South right there, and those are a couple of teams down in the South. In Central Alabama, we're going to kind of share. We're talking about Alabama, the state of Alabama, High School Athletic Association, Power 25. As we said, we're going to get to Florida, Georgia, and Mississippi in the coming week. We have in Central Alabama, we have Central Phoenix City, who ranks 6th in the poll. We know how competitive they are. They'll be right back in the thick of things. You also have, as we move further down, you have Lynette. That's in Central Alabama. They won the state championship. That's Coach Story over there. We celebrate Coach Story winning the championship last year. And then also, we're going to kind of just dip a little bit down to Hillcrest Evergreen. That's Coach Clinton Smith. He won the state championship, and he's also ranked. He moved up from 3A to 4A, so he'll be playing 4A. He's ranked number 2 in the 4A. Lynette is still 2A. And as you know, in basketball, they kind of just creamed everybody, whipped everybody in basketball, so they've done that like 2 or 3 years. All right, in Sweetwater, over here in this more of the west part of Sweetwater, Pickett County, we're going to be strong. Aliceville. We're going to look at Leo Montgomery, you know, and Jeff David. They received some votes in the 7A. Then you had Park Crossing received some votes in the 6A. As Coach Edwards said, there'll be some competitive ball starting tomorrow night when you have Carr against Jeff Davis at Alabama State University at the Hornet Stadium. They'll be starting with that kickoff classic on Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Then on Friday night, you have Park Crossing and Lee, two teams who received votes in either 6A or 7A. Then you also have the championship challenge, which will be over Crampton Bowl. and it will be, as we mentioned, Thompson against James Clements. They will be at Crampton Bowl, and they'll be competing real hard to make sure things happen. There are some other schools we want to talk about. You got Leroy, as I may have not mentioned, Leroy Week Talker, and we're going to kind of see what things go with them. But we look forward to an outstanding year for high school football in the state of Alabama, and we look for some great things to happen. So we're going to just kind of move forward. We're going to still talk about some high school, because this was just the voice of historical black college and university, high school and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. And you just press 1 if you want to share your thoughts with us, and you can wait to identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. Then I'm going to ask you to identify yourself, the location, and jump in with your thoughts and your expertise. So we look forward for you being a part of this show, so make sure you join us when you get an opportunity and want to jump in on some topics. Another topic we want to talk about is the starting of a football program. The first time at 2 schools, and the schools are, and I have to say, one of them is a school that was started as a place for young African American black males to go to in elementary and middle school, called Valley Cross Academy. They started 3 years ago. Now they're up to the point that they're able to play junior varsity. They're going to play at the Alabama Independent School Association. So they're going to be playing in that. So they look forward, and that's to the Brock brothers here in Montgomery. They started a school to address our young African-American males to have a chance for success in life, and they get a chance to do it not only in the academic classroom, but they also do it on the football field. So we applaud Valley Cross. Then we also have Success Unlimited. These schools started off, Success Unlimited started as a home-based school, the Success Unlimited Academy. They played their first football game on the 17th of August, since they played in that AISA, the Alabama Independent Schools Association. They lost 23-12, but this is a start, so we applaud them for taking the opportunity to start some football. One other school that's going to be playing in Class 3A, and that's Pike Road School, that was started out of East Montgomery, and they'll be playing in the Alabama High School Athletic Association. They play 3A, and they'll get started up on this Friday night. So we look forward to seeing these great things going on in football in the high school in the state of Alabama, as well as Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, and the other southeastern part of the United States. And we want you to call in and share your thoughts about it at 347-857-4192. Tell us what your school is doing. We want to hear about your school. Talk about your historical black college and university. Talk about your high school. Talk about your middle school. We want you to share your thoughts here. All right, team, let's look at the historical black college's storyline. And one particular storyline is being one of the first games being played of this season is being played Saturday night in the Guardian FCS kickoff classic between Jacksonville State and North Carolina A&T in Crampton Bowl. What do y'all think about that? What do you think about North Carolina A&T playing in this classic against Jacksonville State, who's the 4-time champion of the Ohio Valley Conference, and the North Carolina A&T being the national champion, the black national champion of 2017? What's your thoughts, team?
Dr. Smith, we all root for North Carolina A&T, but they're going to have to bring it against Jacksonville State. Jacksonville State has made Montgomery one of his home stadiums. They play a lot in that Camilla Bowl, don't they, Dr. Smith?
Yeah.
Did they play last year, or they played another game similar to this last year?
Yeah, they played December to this. They played University of Chattanooga.
Okay, gotcha. But North Carolina A&T got to bring it, Dr. Smith, with Jacksonville State, because they're getting a lot of D1 transfers, and they're going to bring it.
Awesome, sir.
I concur with the King. The D1 transfers are way up. So it's going to be some football, some interesting football. And You know, Tremaine, I can tell you this. I have sat back and I have people that call into the show. They don't say anything. They listen. And we take what you say and we go to the board with it. We have created this board. And this board is of accuracy. So you say nothing inaccurate. A lot of people say Tremaine is opinionated. No, he's not. Tremaine is factual and actual. So he's right. The D1 transfers are up there, and they're going to have to bring it, my friend. I look forward to that game. It's going to be a good one. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
Awesome, awesome. The game will be on Saturday night at Crampton Bowl at 6 o'clock, and it also will be broadcast on ESPN, I believe ESPN2. So you'll get a chance to see that first game. The first college football game will be played in Montgomery in the Guardian FCS kickoff classes. So we'll look forward to being there because I'll be there broadcasting parts of the game to kind of show some things and the festivity that's going on at Crampton Bowl. So we look forward to being there. So you can join us. We always say put your meat in the seat. That's M-E-A-T. Not meet me at the seat, be in the seat. When we need to crop the bowl field to the top, whether you're coming from North Carolina as far as Virginia all the way down to from South Florida over to Texas. Join us in being a part of this Guardian FCS kickoff classes. So we're very excited about having the Ohio Valley Conference here, champion of 4 years, and also the MEAC champion as well as a black college football champion. So we look forward to it. All right, let's move to the Labor Day Classic. And we want to talk about Labor Day Classic, not just one classic. Every game that's going on in the historical black college and university, if your school planning a game, and you don't have to call it, but it's the kickoff of everything September the 1st, let's talk about those teams. We're going to start off, and then we'll throw it back up there to North Alabama. Let's talk a little bit about Alabama A&M. Coach, let's talk a little bit about Alabama A&M Bulldogs.
Yeah, Dr. Smith, we came out this spring. Well, not this spring, but, yeah, I'm going to say this spring with a new coach. Everything is coming together now, Dr. Smith. If you watch ESPN this last week, you would have saw the one-handed catch that our great receiver made. It was a big-time catch. I'm going to probably have to shoot it to you guys. But it made ESPN in the little scrimmage game we had Saturday. Offense looked great. Dr. Smith, they came coming together. They put some on the defense. Defense looked suspect now. So I'm expecting a lot of points against Miles on next week. Right before Labor Day, we probably finna put up some points, Dr. Smith. I see it.
All right.
So prediction right. has changed. I'm going with A&M 34. Miles
All
14,
right.
baby. Let's go.
All
Put
right.
the points on the
All
board.
Right.
See the king has spoke now, but now, woo, that's some strong points there, king. But I'm gonna have to roll with the win on it. But I don't know about them points, king. I don't know how you come up with them numbers now. Don't scare me now. Don't scare me. I've been on your team for too long. Don't scare me now.
Hey, we look offensively look good, Darry. We look good.
Back to you,
Doctor. Right. Oh, I appreciate coming back to me because I'm very excited. Now the call in number so you can join us is 347-857-4192. Press 1 and I identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell. Our telephone number, then I ask you to jump in by identifying yourself and your location. Let's kind of look at that. Coach Maynard is getting it together up there. He has an outstanding staff up there. There's been some players up there, I think, last year. It got to a point and it extended itself as far as it could go. Sometimes you bring somebody in here new, and a new coach come in with a new staff and got a new attitude up there at Alabama A&M. Join them. Put your meat in the seat. Go join Alabama A&M as they play in the Lewis Cruz Classic up in Huntsville, Alabama. That's, if not mistaken, is that a 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock kickoff, Trey?
Is that a
6 o'clock or 7 o'clock?
6 o'clock. 6 o'clock games time, and Bama starts at 7. That's how you determine it. Bama's an hour after Miles and A&M, baby.
Okay, that'll work then. So everybody join us. Coach Trey will be there. He's going to check it out as long as he can check it out. Then he's going to get in and make sure he had a play to see those ties. He want to see those ties roll. So he's going to make sure he be there and support Alabama A&M Bulldogs. And we'll support them. We're going to do it. It may not be in body, but be in spirit. We want to put our meeting to see, because we're going to go over here to the Hornet Stadium, because that kickoff class is going to be hot and rolling. A&M has talked so much stuff. I'm sorry, not A&M, but Tuskegee have talked so much stuff.
Golly, Doc Smith.
They said the president sent, they sent the ASU president and sent him a text saying, make sure y'all pay the bill this month because we come in to enjoy our state. That's what they said. How bad is that? We talk about it's on and popping. It's going to be rolling. So that's Alabama State versus Tuskegee University on September the 1st in the Hornet State. And Tuskegee will be the home team. And I want all the ASU individuals to understand that it is a classic played in this particular stadium. The kickoff is 5 o'clock, so your meat need to be in the seat. There will be a lot of pageantry. We're going to be out there. We're going to be talking to people, interviewing people, let them share their thoughts about what's going on with this classic, because it is one of the longest historical classic between black college football in the country, between Alabama State and Tuskegee University. Tuskegee has the overall record of 61-34, and I believe it's 3 ties or 4 ties. And we want to make sure we kind of be there. So make sure you join us. You listen to us now. Join us. Be there. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Did you just say that in Hornet Stadium, Tuskegee will have the home side?
Yeah, they'll have the home. They'll have the white. They'll have the dark jersey, and as you'll be in the white.
Okay.
Daryl.
Okay.
They won't. Yeah. They won't be on the home side. They'll just wear the dark jersey. Trust me, man. They gonna wear the dark jersey.
They're
not going to put them over there now.
Because, see, when the game is over, when the game is over, and Tuskegee done beat down Bama State one more time, y'all know y'all are not going to be able to live this down. You know they own the stadium as it is. I wouldn't be surprised if they come over there and roll the stadium the night before the game.
I wouldn't be surprised either.
Jesus.
And that's the good part about it. Yeah, festivities. So we're really excited about that. So everybody join us. Join us at Alabama State on the campus. They're going to have a lot of pageantry. You're going to have tailgating going on, 20,000, 30,000 people walking around at the tents, at the RVs outside of the stadium just enjoying themselves. But it is Tuskegee home game because of the rotation of the classic. It is not a home game issue. It's a classic. It's like up in Birmingham, they rotate the home team. So we still will be there. We still want your meeting to see. You need it more so. And like I said, as they like everybody's been saying, you know, Tuskegee is real cocky. They think they're going to take another one down. But I'm going to give my prediction. And since Trey gave his prediction on A&M, I'm going to give my prediction. And I do believe it's been a close game, but ASU will beat them 21-14. That's my prediction.
Oh my God.
Write it down. Oh. And if you have one,
okay.
Call me.
I'm gonna write it down, Dr. Smith. I'm gonna write it down. But I'm gonna write it down with toothpaste on white paper. Trey, what you think? Trey, what you think about that, King? What you think the game going to be like?
I'm gonna say this. I think it's time for a state to get one. Now, I was born a black and gold fan. Now, there. I mean, I just went to A&M. That's why I tell people at the Classic all the time. Now, you know, because I cheer for both of them now. But when they playing each other, I'm going with A&M. I don't hate Alabama State. I'm not that type of fan there. But, you know, they a lot of people be on my head about that just because I go to I went to Alabama A&M. But I'm going to ride with the black and gold, Dr. I'm riding with the black and gold there. I think they're gonna put a few more points on them though. I think it's gonna be like 28-10 or something.
My family. Here's the interesting thing about my family. My family, we went to Skegee, A&M, and Bama State. This is my brothers and sisters now. What I'm speaking of. Mm-hmm. And so we have all the blood in us. I'm just looking at the stats of what it looks like starting the season for both teams, the strong points and the weak points. And right now, Skegee is stronger than Alabama State University by way of the numbers. And the numbers is what King has taught me to look at. So, King, I get where you're at on the camaraderie. I get where you're at on the spirit, but the numbers just don't match. And that's back to you, Dr. Smith.
All right. The numbers don't match. And I like that. The numbers sometimes don't match. We'll look forward to seeing some things happen. And if we'll just say that it's just time. As Coach Edwards said, it's time. It's time for something to happen. As I sit up in the season ticket gala, they had a gala. But they had season tickets to come over, people who purchased season tickets to come over to Alabama State. We met in the club of the clubhouse of the stadium, and the head coach was very excited about his quarterback play. He feels real good about Pearson, and the defense is stinging. He said that defense is stinging. So we're going to kind of see what's going on. So if he's talking like that, and I've met a lot of the players over there, they're excited. So we look for a heck of a ball game. Everybody expect it. Ain't going to be nothing to lay down. Last year, Alabama State was knocking around, but just couldn't cross that goal line. And it became the depth of them in the end. So we want to see positive things. They seem to feel excited. They got some of the players that's going to hit it. They got a lot of D1 players to transfer in there. And they've been taking hold of that leadership role or taking hold of their talent level in the form of leading by talent. And they expect some good things. So we're just going to wait. My prediction is 21 ASU, 14 Tuskegee, and Trey said he's going to have a step more there. So we'll push it up to 28-21 on his end if that's what he want to go with, and we'll see how it goes. So Labor Day class is set. If you're having a class in your hometown, your school is having it, are you having a big festival going on with your high school getting back together, we're going to play this team. It's going to be big, just like the champs and champions challenge, just like the kickoff class at Alabama State with the high school. Call us. No historical black school. Call us, 347-857-4192. So we look forward to talking with you. All right, let's look at our reaction. Let me see what your reaction about the decision dealing with Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer, it's Ohio State suspends Myers for first three games. Let me hear what you have to say about that.
I think that's totally wrong, and let me tell you why. Because number one, that what they said that the guy was arrested. There was a police report of the other man that had been arrested for domestic violence. That was not true. And when they found out that was not true, and it, to me, it released Urban Meyer from any situation with in terms of him being at the fault of this. He knew that it was not true, but it had already spread it out here in the public that this guy had been arrested for domestic violence. And so, to me, that's the college saying, okay, we're going to save face with everybody. We're going to put it on Myers, too. So I just think that was kind of wrong. But that's my little short take on the trade. I know you've been waiting on this. Give me the scandal.
I'm just glad it's not as worse as it could have been. They could have took that man's job for this, though, for not reporting an incident as – I mean, it had nothing to do with Urban Meyer. It's just the fact that he knew that it happened. And I'm with you right there with what you said. But I just think being a head coach now on a college level is so many more. It's so much more with it just not coaching. So you have to find dependable and clean assistant coaches, because I mean that's very serious situation right there, and they're taking everything into consideration dealing with, you know, domestic violence, DUIs, all of that, DWIs. They're taking all that in consideration, and if you don't report that stuff, they blaming you as a head coach. So I just think Urban Meyer was in a bad situation. If it was him, I think they should have buried him. But being that it's not him, and like I said, he knew, and he even said he should have done more. But I mean, what do you do, Dr. Smith, Darry? I just don't know. But all he could have done was reported it. And that's it. Now, I don't know how that would have ended up going, but him not saying anything about it almost cost him his job, though. That's all I got.
And you're so right, Trey. We're in a time now that whenever the media sometimes set the margin orders in regards to things like this, and Talking Sports Plus is in support of dealing with any domestic violence situation. We do not support anybody doing that, whether it's a coach or whether it's a family member or whoever it is, a friend or whoever. We do not support you on that. However, when you're dealing with a situation where it is required or mandatory to report, and it, as it was said, it was reported and nothing was done, and now we begin to look at who? We look at the athletic director, because the chain of command is to go up and report it. As a retired educator, I always tell everybody we had a mandatory reporting. And when we got some situations when it was definitely dealing with children, we never had an incident where we had to deal with an employee in a domestic violence, because there's ways to take, because you got the law to deal with that. But we had to report that. And we had to not report it to a supervisor. I didn't have to run to the superintendent. When it was given to me, I called DHR immediately, because we're dealing with children. That's what I think. Even with Title IX, Title IX said it has to be reported. But then again, it didn't say that if it's dealing with adults, how is it done? You talk about adults when you talk about students dealing with Title IX. But a coach is supposed to be reported as well. But Urban Meyer say he reported. Apparently, the investigation, as I read, showed that he did report it to Gene Smith. And it's from that point how the university wanted to deal with it. Now, the problem he had when we talk about is it morally right? Sometimes we can kind of use that and to a point that deciding, well, he should have fired the man. He shouldn't have kept the man around. It wasn't right. Yeah, but thing about it, sometimes, you know, we got situations where people call themselves helping people, and they continue to help them, and they're wrong. He admitted he was wrong, and he didn't have the right. Once he did that and said that he made a grave, his judgment was not in good, wasn't good in order, then it led to where he is now. So we want to say to Ohio State University, you went through the process, you provided my answer, you provided my results, 3-day suspension. Let's move forward. It's time for some football.
But Dr. Smith,
this has been in the news. Yes, yes.
But wait a minute. Hold on. 3-game suspension equals what? It doesn't equal. It's the same face for the university. That's all I'm saying to you. Urban Miles will still have his hand on those 3 games, even though he's not on that field. He'll still have his hands on that game. It's really no punishment for Urban Miles. It's just to save face for the university. And to me, that's just a blow in the face to the people who support the university. If you're going to do something to Urban Miles, suspend him 3 games and then dock him for six games out of his pocket. Now you're getting him some real repercussion for what he did. But just suspending him for 3 games is just saying you're not going to be on that field. But you still going to have your hand in the game. And that's how that game is being played. But I understand where you are, Dr. Smith. Go ahead.
You know, I was just reading the report. It said Miles also suspended from the program from September 2nd through, September 16th. Also, Gene Smith also been suspended without pay. So both him and the athletic director have been suspended without pay up until the 16th. It is going to be without pay. So it is three weeks without pay. So they're going to hit his pocket. But he's still out there, and, you know, it's going on. The decision being made. It's been made by that six-panel committee and the board of trustees. And it's time for some football. And this has been the topic of discussion for the last two or three weeks. All right, let's kind of take a step away from Urban Meyer, and let's get to this AP preseason poll, my friends. Tell me what you think about it. Did they get it right? The preseason poll, Associated Press, preseason poll, a ranking. Did they get it right? Alabama 1, Georgia 2. I'm sorry, Georgia 3, Clemson 2, Wisconsin 4, Ohio State 5. Did they get it right? What do you think that? What do you think about that team?
They got it right, Dr. Smith. I think those are the top five teams in the nation, baby.
Okay. All right. That was short and sweet. All right. Okay. So we're looking at a situation where, you know, those are the top five teams. Now we want to look at, will four of those five teams will be in the playoff? Or will there be somebody else who's not part of that top five may sneak in there and be a part of the four teams in the final in the playoff? What do you think about that? The four teams, will it be four of these five right here, or will it be somebody else outside of the top five and possibly outside of the top ten? Tell me what you think.
Nobody said anything about Florida, the Seminoles. Nobody said that about the Nobody said that about Miami. Nobody said nothing about Miami. Miami coming with a fury this year, so they keep telling me. But I just don't see it. Go ahead, Trey.
I'm a state what I see. With those teams out of that top five, you got two in the SEC. You got one in the ACC. You got one in the Big Ten. And what the last one is, Dr. Smith?
Well, you have two in the Big Ten, Wisconsin and Ohio State in the top five. And then you have the Alabama and Georgia in the SEC. Then you got Clemson and ACC.
Clemson, ACC.
But there
they got a chance to out of that top five, it's four teams that – does have a chance, because they going to I don't know if they're going to let two teams go out of the conference again, dealing with the Alabama and Georgia situation, being that they are on the east and the west of the SEC. And that's the same thing that's going to go on in Ohio State. They are on both sides of the conference. So I don't think they will let that team slide in. Now, Alabama slid in because they were undefeated and lost their last game to Auburn and couldn't compete for the SEC championship. Now, I think if Alabama would have got in that game and lost to Georgia, only one team from the SEC would have went, Dr. Smith. But being that they were on the outside looking in, they helped. That actually helped them. You know, Ohio State fans were upset last year, you know, but they slipped in the year before off the same foolery. And just so happened, Alabama proved to you that they were the best team that was in the playoffs. And a lot of people said, oh, they in there, now they finna win. And I felt like that when they got in. I said, we get in, we going to win this thing. But I can see four of those teams, Dr. Smith. That will get there. I don't think the ACC has enough strength. Like Derry just said about Miami and Florida State, they don't have enough yet to complete with Clemson. Clemson is recruiting on a very high level right now. And the Florida States and Miami aren't what they used to be. So I think they'll take over the ACC. We're going to have to eliminate one of Alabama and Auburn. Now I think we're going to have a dark horse slip in there somewhere. So I'm going to say at least three out of these top five will get in there. And a dark horse will slip in, Dr. Smoke.
And I kind of agree with you to the point that I am concerned about whether Alabama and Georgia is going. I believe it's going to be one or the other. I don't think both will get a chance to be there. It's still Auburn may not be, but they're sitting back in the cut. We'll never know what will happen. And then we have to think about with Ohio State and Wisconsin, Penn State. Penn State will be strong, and they will be competitive. And we're not going to take out Michigan. Put Michigan and Michigan State in there, too. So it's a possibility those two teams, Wisconsin, they have a better chance to get to their championship game because they're weak on the West. But Ohio State has to go through those other four, or other three, and it's going to be tough. And they may not be there in the end. I just know that Alabama and Georgia or Auburn or Mississippi State are going to cancel out so it won't be two teams from the SEC again. And then Clemson is just sort of like got a slide through it. Florida State and Miami, they're going to play some excellent ball. But Clemson is, you know, they're far superior to anybody else in that conference. So we're going to kind of keep an eye out for that. This is a preseason poll. Did they get it right at this point? Yes, they got it right. The poll really matters in that second weekend, if I'm not mistaken, November, when you come out with the football playoff. You're ready for that series. Football playoff series when their four teams are selected. That's when it's important. Then five through the rest of them will get a chance to see if they're going to get in the New Year's Day Bowl series. But I do believe there will be one team from the SEC, Clemson, and I believe it's going to be a toss-up. I do also feel like Oklahoma is going to slip some way, or either West Virginia going to be make some noise. So we'll kind of see how it's going to go, but that's our thoughts on it. But you have the same opportunity, 347-857-4192. Hit us up. Call us. We need to hear your thoughts on it. And just press 1, and I'll identify the last four digits of your cell or your telephone number. Then I ask you to identify yourself and your location. Let me hear from you. All right. Pertaining to that same area, we're going to kind of look at some more college football. I was going to talk about whether Alabama, Georgia would make to the playoff, but we just discussed that. College football, sick of Nick. That's the question. Is Alabama good or bad for college football? Let me hear what you have to say about that team.
I don't really know what you mean by that.
Okay. By Alabama continuing to win, is it good for college football? We want to see somebody else win the championship. Do we want to see somebody else who be ranked number one or number for 3 years in a row? Do we want to see somebody, not just us, but other people in the country, do they want to see? So is it good for it or bad? Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Well, hold on, Dr. Phil. When you say is it good for college football, I mean, it's no different than any other college winning three straight championships. Everybody gets their turn. Everybody gets it. Alabama is not going to be forever winning these championships. We know that. A time change brings about a change. So that was a time when the Miami Hurricanes were the beast in college football. That was a time Penn State was the beast in college football. You know, and on and on and on. So, yes, Alabama is good for college football, good for TV sponsorship, good for radio sponsorship, good for this talk show. Good for everybody in Alabama. Alabama is good. Auburn is bad. Go back to it.
Woo! Come on, Trey.
Dr. Smith, that's no different. Alabama winning is no different than Hoover winning every year in 7A in football, Dr. Smith. I mean, if you want to beat them, just beat them. I mean, ain't no need of talking about if it's good or bad for college football. Beat them. Georgia has set the tone where they want to compete with Bama. Okay, we want to do what we need to do to get on the same level. Alabama sets the standard for people. Like Hoover sets the standard for high school coaches. I mean,
say
that's
it,
who you want to be
it.
Like.
But it's just said, Darrell. Said. So in essence, both of y'all.
Can I get a witness?
Good.
Can I get a witness? Can I get
one
witness?
Get a witness? Oh, shout it out. There you go. Is it good for college football? They say Alabama is good for college football. We want to know because everybody else seems to think different. But that's talking here and punters. And people in other parts of the country want to see somebody else be up there. They're looking for Alabama to fall somewhere. They would love to see Ohio State be Alabama. Meaning Alabama having a situation like Ohio State. That's why they spent so much time on Tua and Jalen Hurts, because that was the controversy, and they felt like they needed to talk about stuff negative. And if they continue to talk negative about it, then you ain't as good as you think you are. Because I have been around people, particularly down in South Florida. They literally hate Alabama. They get tired of Alabama winning. They was happy when Miami was winning. They was happy when Florida State was winning. They was happy when Florida was winning. But now they tied. They last. They give it every time Alabama lose a game and lose a championship game. So everybody don't think it's good for college football, and that's because of my prior experience with some people, because they just haven't been happy to see Alabama win. So the bottom line is it good or bad? We say it's good. We up here, we like it. We looking through rose-colored glasses, so we love to see Alabama winning. We don't want to see them losing. We want to see Nick Saban stay there forever. We know he can't stay there forever. Whether the tide going to turn then or not, that has to happen. But it ain't happening now. So you're going to say it like most folks said. You might be sick of Nick, but as long as he's able to get up and go up there and press them buttons, he's going to continue winning. So go ahead on Nick. So Alabama is good for football. All right, let's look at some quarterbacks. One particular quarterback that may help a school move in the right direction or maybe be competitive. And is dealing with Michigan, with Jim Harbaugh and Shane Patterson. Tell us what you think about that, fellas. Is that a good or bad call in starting Shane Patterson? Will this leapfrog Michigan maybe get to the finals, maybe get in the playoff, maybe win the conference? What do you think about that team? Michigan with Shea Patterson winning the conference, the Big Ten conference.
Yes, Dr. Smith. I don't think that's enough to get through the Big Ten. Shea Patterson is a great quarterback coming from Ole Miss, but I don't think he has enough shabazz to get him through the Big Ten. Shea Patterson is a running quarterback. I just don't think he got it, Dr. Smith.
Man, let me tell y'all something. Let me tell y'all something. It's, to me, you got to have offense, defense, and special teams. You got to be able to stop the other team and put points on the board. And with that, you got to have enough dynamicism on that field to do so. One man can't carry it. You got to be able to have some people on that field to have, for some follow through to help him help that team get across that finish line to get those points on the board. And Shabazz will be the right thing. He ain't got enough, Dr. Smith. He just ain't got enough by himself. Michigan State is not loaded like Alabama is. And sorry to Alabama, sorry for you Florida fans and y'all, man, when y'all listening right now. But you got to grade them by somebody. And they just don't have enough offensively, defensively, and special teams, along with a quarterback, to be able to compete on the big stage. I don't think Michigan's going to be the dark horse this coming year. That back to you, Dr. Smith.
All right, we have a call on the line, and we want her to share her thoughts, and she's been calling regularly. That's caller with 0026. I know who it is, and I do appreciate her calling in. Let's hear from you, Ms. Black. Let's hear from Ms. Scarlett.
Good evening, Dr. Smith and the team. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you pretty real well, real well.
Okay. Now, I wanted to say that if I'm not mistaken, and I could be mistaken, but I don't think so, you know, I'm in Clemson country, Greenville, South Carolina. And didn't Clemson, I don't think Alabama won three straight in a row here lately. Didn't Clemson get in there?
Yes. Yes, Clemson did. Clemson
won. Yeah, that was
right.
Not straight in a row. Okay, I just wanted to make sure I was right on that. I know
you're
all excited, but I want you know you get excited. But I just wanted to know that Clemson, the last year that Deshaun played his senior year, I thought that we did not make it 3 years in a row for Roll Tide.
Yes, ma'am, you're absolutely right, ma'am, and we stand corrected on that. But when it comes down to the last five, we are just looking for Clemson. We're praying for Clemson in some shape, form, or fashion to be part of that mix. And congratulations to you guys for winning one out of the last five with Alabama. Thank you.
And it's Black, we do appreciate you. We appreciate you joining us. You know, you're always there with us, and Clemson and Deshaun Watson as well as Brian. I think they're going to be quite competitive. And that's a team that a lot of the pundits and talking heads are saying going to win the national championship. A lot of them believe that. And they got the material, they got the players, and they got an outstanding coaching staff and a great coach in Dabo. And they're picked to win. Some polls are picking them. Some are. Some field polls are not. So I do look for some great things out of Clemson. If not, they're going to have at least four of those players off that defensive line drafted in the first 15 picks. Them are some outstanding players. So we do applaud, but we do want you to continue to listen, Ms. Black, and we'll make sure you, when you've got another question, stick, jump in there, because I'm going to leave you on the line and let you share. We're down to probably about 4 or 5 minutes, and we're not rushing, but we're trying to make sure we share our thoughts in here on just about every topic that's hot at this time. And this is going to be the last topic we're going to touch bases on is should the NFL change the helmet contact rule due to 51 penalties being called as of Monday preseason game? And we want to share our thoughts on that.
We knew off the top, Dr. Smith, that when they had the helmet contact rule, that was going to be a high penalty. Sometimes it's purely mistake when you're moving so fast, you can't, sometimes it's just going to happen. To remove that rule is going to damage somebody. I think the guys are more conscientious when they're on the field that they cannot have that helmet. If they don't have that helmet rule, somebody can literally lose their life or lose their career behind that one blow. So, no, I think it stays there. And, yeah, we knew it was going to be a high call, Dr. Smith, and also, just for a side note, ESPN is not going to air when they play NFL ball. They're not going to air the national anthem part of the game. They're just going to leave that off the TV, and people are upset about that. But I just want to have that as a side note. I think you keep the helmet in place. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
I think anything new.
Of course, it's going to be an adjustment. So everyone's, you know, even here at the high school leagues, everyone's still trying to figure out how this works, and it's going to be confusing for a little bit. But I think the rule is here to stay.
Awesome. All right, Trey.
I'm gonna say this, Dr. Smith. I agree with Daryl Lee. Speed of the game is moving so fast that sometimes you can't move your head. And being that, sometimes the offensive guy ducks his head into the contact. That happens a lot, and a lot of guys get called for targeting because of that. So I'm going to say this. There will be a lot more, if the rule stays in place, there will be a lot more leg injuries. As we saw last year, Odell Beckham got hurt off the same situation. The guy said, I didn't want to go high on him, so I went low, and that lost Odell Beckham for the year. So my brain says, if we have so many head injuries, why don't we reduce the helmets? I think we should be out there with leather helmets, and I don't think guys would use their heads to tackle anymore, Dr. Smith. I mean, if it's such an issue, why do we work on getting the head equipped? So we're going to make better helmets, tougher helmets, so they can't get concussions where they're still using their head, but why not just go to leather helmets again where you're not going to use your head if I know my head is don't have all this padding on it? Y'all understand that, Dr. Smith? I think the equipment should be going lighter if the heavy plastic does that much damage.
But the game wasn't as violent back then when they were using leather helmets as it is now, with the speed and the contact and the hard tackling. Do you think? I mean, I just think it's gotten more violent, you know, as the decades have gone on.
I think it's more violent because of the protective equipment that you're giving guys to use. Back in the day, it was more like an elbow or a forearm to the head. So it's not much differently because I have seen back in the day we were taught to hit you in the helmet or hit you in the chin of hit you in the chin. That's the way we were taught to play football. But if, like I said, if there's an issue, I think they should go back to leather helmets because if you give a guy a leather helmet, he won't hit with his head because it's less padding on your head.
Lester, well, are we going to be playing flag football or real football?
There you go.
Because if you're going to have that, then you're looking at the head, you know, trying to protect the head, but then you have the rise in the ACL injuries and things like that. So are we playing flag football or are we playing football?
I think you can play football with a leather helmet that will take away all the head-to-head contact.
Well, and both of y'all have great thoughts about it. It's kind of put it back into reality. Really, truly, truly, the helmet is the greatest protection for any player. And the more technology they use to get it where it continues to protect that player is going to be more important. I don't think taken away from that opportunity to protect that head with that cast dome to keep you from, you know, with all the cushion and all the stuff they're putting it in the helmet now. And I think more or less this rule is not so much to protect that. It's more or less teach players, not today, because it's not going to change players who've been doing this. Players coming up in 10 years from now where you'll be more of a rugby-type situation where the helmet will be head will be taken completely out of tackling, out of blocking, out of all of that in the future. So we're looking at a situation that's going to continue to be looked at by the NFL, by high school, from colleges and all levels of sports because football is a violent game. Not only you're saying, as earlier said, ACL injuries because somebody go low and they tackle. They don't have to hit you with the helmet, but they can hit you with your shoulder and take a knee out. Or whatever it may be, you're still going to have some situation, but the rule is there to stay, and we want to protect our young people from, as well as our adults from CTE injuries, and it's continuing to teach the rule and teach the form and teach them to tackle like they should tackle, but it's kind of hard to keep the head out of it because the head goes along with their body. So we do appreciate everybody that being was able to join us tonight, meaning that when I look at my board, I see a lot of callers on here that didn't want to talk, but Ms. Black, I do appreciate you doing it. Scarlett Black out of South Carolina joining us. She joins us on our other shows as well. And we'll allow her the opportunity as we get ready to close to share her thoughts and her closing thoughts in regards to Talking Sports Plus and as well as our other co-host, Ms. Black.
I think that, well, again, a great show, as always. Concerned about the Urban Meyer situation and the what he knew, when he knew it, and how it was reported to Ohio State. I don't think the penalty is strong enough, and I think that's the problem even with NCAA and NFL in these situations of mass concern domestic violence. And I just think that just depends sometimes on who you are. I don't think that penalty was strong enough. I really don't.
Okay, awesome, awesome.
Right. I like it. Chime in, right? Okay, you're going to get Trey. Go ahead, Trey.
Go ahead, Darryl. Go on, sign them out. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just going to say Alabama 28, Clemson 24. Y'all have a good night. Peace. I love y'all.
Uh-huh.
It's black. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. All right.
Uh-huh.
All right, Trey, let's wrap it up on your end.
All right, great show tonight, guys. Getting ready for this high school football cranking up tomorrow. Dr. Smith, I need you to keep me updated, man. Let me know what's going on in the bowl tomorrow. We have, what, Lee and Park Crossing tomorrow, Dr. Smith? Or is it Jeff Davis and Carver tomorrow?
Jeff David and Carver tomorrow, and then Lee and Park Crossing on Friday.
I'm leaving it in your pocket, Dr. Smith. Keep me updated. Let me know what's going on. Being that I'm a Jeff Davis alumni, let me know what's going on with Jeff Davis. Great show tonight, fellas. See y'all next week.
That's right. And Ms. Black, we appreciate you again. Join us tonight, and I want you to continue to join us. And I will be communicating. You can join us on Monday night again, and we look forward to it. I do say it was a great show tonight. And like I always tell everybody, you know, hashtag keep on grinding. And also, it's the Smith way. But besides that, I want everybody to know, you know, I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Join us on Monday night at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, talking real to you. And again, next Wednesday night on Talking Sports Plus. And on Friday, which is this Friday coming up, we have Ballin' with the Doc, which I host that show at 4 o'clock Central Standard Time. On Wednesday night is 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. You have a great night. And I look forward to talking with you on Friday, as well as Ms. Black. You have an opportunity.
You may think that it's over, that your life is done.
The best is yet to come.
Don't sweat the challenge. Your battle's already won. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The best is yet to come.
Listen, y'all. See, God writes the end before the story begins. Oh, he told me to tell you the
best is yet to come.
As the author of your faith, he wrote a provision for you to win. You're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner.
You ain't seen your best day yet.
You ain't seen your best day yet.
You ain't seen your best day yet.
I don't care what people told you, you ain't seen no
you best. You ain't seen your best day.
Oh, well,
my brother.
What you know? Is on the way. I see you eagle. I see you flying high. Ooh, you ain't seen nothing. You ain't seen nothing. You ain't seen nothing. I know you may think that you have, but God told me to tell you. You
gotta keep on fighting, keep on praying. You ain't seen